In 2008, Iceland's three largest banks collapsed, causing the biggest economical and political crisis the country has ever experienced. 5 years on, and in the face of the Icesave win in the courts earlier this year, I decided to take a look back at that event and find out how the country and its economy is progressing. I spoke with experimental game theorist Dr. Anna Gunther-Storder from Vienna, Austria, to get more on this story. Could you briefly give us a background on what happened to Iceland's three largest banks back in 2008?
Well, I think there is still a lot of, information that's lacking. You got to think that this is a very small country, which even though it's the oldest democracy in the world, certain family cliques, linked to political parties have a lot of power there. So they basically got control of all three banks, and they were quite linked, actually. They were privatized, and that was probably highly premature to privatize them. They got into the hands of people who had no background in finance.
How much money was owing?
I don't know exactly. It was many, many times over the Icelandic GDP. It was way too big. I can't give you a figure. Even to this day, we don't know exactly what the debt is that's not covered, because people are still selling off the assets of these banks.
When it was discovered, was there any talk by the Icelandic government to perhaps do a bailout, or was it just too much for the country?
There was no way to do a bailout. If you think of all these bailouts that are happening now, the EU is involved, right? Money is coming from somewhere, but Iceland is not in the EU.
Is it true that when the government found out about the debt, when the three banks collapsed, that they forced it onto the creditors and not back onto the public?
More complicated than that. You got to separate the creditors, right? They protected all Icelandic citizens. And for the rest, they forced it back on the creditors.
And do we know what their reaction was to that?
Again, it was very varied, right? I mean, there were, for example, British private parties and councils, as well as German and Dutch savers who had put money into the Icelandic bank account. So these governments stepped in, made their citizens whole, and in turn then tried to get that money back from Iceland. Now there you are dealing basically with politicians and officials at that point, right? It's not their money anymore. So even though they tried hard to get that money back on behalf of their taxpayers, by just dragging that out, I think that's slowly being forgotten. In part, the banks were given to foreign creditors who are trying to retrieve whatever they can. But of course, a lot of money is lost.
The Prime Minister during the time of the collapse, Gerharde, he was convicted of minor charges. Do you believe he deserved that?
If you're asking me for my personal opinion, the answer is yes and no. This is not a strong personality. There were other people behind him who are more savvy, more clever, and better connected. I mentioned before the connections that are so important in Iceland at all times. He's not the cleverest. He stayed in the country while other people responsible for these events left the country. And some others who probably bore more responsibility were able to shield themselves through their political power. So in that sense, I think that going after Gerharde is not fair.
Why do you think other countries around the world, other Western countries who are going through similar crises with their banks, why don't you think they apply the same action that Iceland did, put it back onto the creditors as opposed to making the public pay?
They're in a different situation, right? They're operating within the EU. I mean, Iceland basically collapsed. And one thing that Iceland was able to do then, part of their recovery strategy, in addition to putting the onus back on the creditors, they were not bound by any EU treaties. They could also devalue their currency by 50%. Iceland is basically operating in a different legal environment. Conflict between Iceland and, in particular, Britain and to some extent Holland was about Iceland not doing what other EU countries would have had to do. For example, making all the account holders whole up to 100,000 euros.
How is Iceland's economy now, 5 years after the crisis?
There's still a lot of personal suffering. There's also a clear recovery. Devaluing the krona has been very good for the Icelandic export sector, including also tourism. The outlook is good. There's climate change. Areas are getting warmer and people are looking at the resources that are there. Foreign ownership of pretty much anything is not allowed. All these resources are in the hands of the Icelanders and will be. One thing that also helped, I think, in terms of, Iceland not being within the EU, and it's probably also in part a cultural thing, is that there has never been the culture of the hand out there. be it the handout from the government or the handout from Brussels. So as soon as the crash occurred, people basically realized, okay, we have been very unfortunate here. But the whole population essentially immediately turned toward entrepreneurship, trying to make the best of it, trying to make money. They were not waiting from anywhere, and in fact, they weren't getting it. So I think that has helped the recovery.
That was experimental game theorist Dr. Anna Gunther-Storder ending that story.